See that picture there? Teresa and I have a standing joke about this. So I show her this picture and I say, "Look, honey, this is my baby." And she doesn't know if I'm talking about her or the motorcycle. I say, "See my baby? I just love her. Isn't she pretty? I just love her. I love to take her out when the weather is nice. We go out. We have such a good time. I just love her. And she sounds so good. And she even smells good. I just love being with her." I think that's so funny. And she says, "Stop it. Stop." I said, "What? I'm talking about you, right?" Today I want to interface with, I want to show you my stuff, my prized possessions in the world, and, really just stuff, like materialism, consumerism stuff. And I want to interface with this quote from Watchman Nee. Watchman Nee says, "You and I must be perfectly willing to part with anything at any moment. What matters is that I can leave whatever I have without a twinge of regret." So this is an antidote to our American materialism. And I just want to show you my prized possessions. As I work through these, and I have to keep telling myself, but I have these for a reason. And when the day comes that I'm supposed to leave them, it will be without a twinge of regret. And that's really important. And I also want to show you the price tags on them because, well, I think that that's important if we're talking about money. So see, this motorcycle here is pretty old now, and it's only worth like $2,500. So, but that's still, it's one of my prized possessions. Luke chapter 12, verse 15, has Jesus saying, "Take heed and beware of covetousness." Covetousness is passion for stuff. Technically, passion could be a good thing. You can have a proper passion for your wife. You can have a proper passion for God. That's good. But what tends to happen is we have an improper passion, covetousness. And covetousness is very bad, to love stuff. And so Jesus says, beware of covetousness, to have a passion for stuff. You don't want to do that. Because a man's life consists not in the abundance of things that he possesses. So you can't be, all caught up with your stuff. I like this car a lot. This is my Mustang. It's worth about $6,000. And it's fun for me because I've had four of these in my life. And once upon a time, Teresa and I had a white one and a black one, his and hers. And so she had the white one, I had the black one, and that was great. And they're really easy for me to work on, so I like that. I can fix them. I understand them. When something breaks, I can fix almost anything, unless it's an electrical problem. I can't fix that. And the automatic transmission was recently rebuilt, and I didn't do that either. But everything else, whatever happens, I think I can fix it. And that gives me a lot of comfort. So I like my Mustang, and I consider it one of my prized possessions. It's a wonderful car. But we're told in the book of Hebrews, chapter 13, verse 5, let your conduct be without covetousness. Don't love this stuff. And be content with such things as you have. You might say, be content with the things that you already have. Whatever you have right now, you don't need anything else. You sometimes feel like you need something else, but you really don't. And so Watchman Nee says to me, "Dave, when the time comes to leave that Mustang, you just have to be able to do it without a twinge of regret." So you have things like that, and you have them with an open hand, not a fist, mine, an open hand. And if the Lord says, it's time for that Mustang to go, then it's time for it to go. And you just have to constantly work through that. We are managers of the Lord's wealth. None of it is ours. It's like working at a golf course. You are enjoying the green stuff everywhere. You enjoy the vacation feel, but it's not your property. It's not yours. You are just a manager of the golf course. And that's what we're doing with these things. This is the Toyota Corolla. Because we owe something on it, if we sold it today, we would come out with, say, $7,000 in our hand. I don't really like this car, but I like it because it never breaks. There's just something reassuring to know. You put the keys in it, step on the pedal, and drive to California, and it shouldn't break. That's so nice. That's comforting. It's sort of like a security blanket. But the Lord tells us We have to be careful with such things. This is our Toyota Tacoma that we took camping this past October. It's great fun. We've never really done that before. Teresa always wanted to be a motel person until there was a bed bug problem in the United States hotel business. And now suddenly she doesn't want to be in any hotels. She used to say, you know, my idea of camping is a hotel. But now with bed bugs, my dad, we had a family reunion and up near Chicago a few years ago. And mom and dad stayed at a motel on the way up. And dad's legs were all bitten up with bed bugs. And Teresa said, nope, there will never be another hotel in our lives. It's not quite that bad. But she grills those people when she calls them on the phone. And she's bluffing. She says, how are you doing with your bed bug problem? And half the time I say, oh, well, we fixed that just last year. It's like, I knew it. We're not going there. So we took the camper and we went out all the way to Arizona and back. And we stopped all along the way at various places, truck stops and campgrounds, but mostly truck stops. And this was great because, once again, Toyota reliability. This car has, right now, 184,000 miles on it. And I think we'd still go to Arizona again. Would you? I think so. There's a nail in the front tire. We should take that out. But other than that, and this car is worth like $6,000. But I really like it. So the idea was when we bought it, well, I'm going to either, after we get back from vacation, I'll either sell the Tacoma truck for $6,000 or I'll sell the Mustang for $6,000. And what happened was, overcome with covetousness, I decided to keep them both. But 1 Timothy 6:10 says the love of money is the root of all evil. You could take that to be all different kinds of evil. Like there have been other motivations for evil besides money. But covetousness is pretty much the cause of all evil, period. And money covetousness has been the cause of every kind of evil I can ever think of. If you're talking about murder, stealing, adultery, I mean, money's been behind all of those things before. So we're taught that the love of money is really, really scary, which while some coveted after, I need more, more, more. I want a Mustang. I want a Tacoma. I want a Harley Davidson. I want. And the Bible says, and when you do that, you're in real danger of erring, straying from the faith. And people who have loved Mustangs and Tacomas and all those things have pierced themselves through like an arrow, pierced themselves through with many sorrows. So these are things you can have, but these are things that you can't really love. You have to hold them in an open hand. If the day comes when you have to get rid of your Toyota Tacoma with the ugly camper shell, you just have to say, okay, Lord. Well, the two little Hondas, they're great fun. Each one is worth about $1,000. And what fun we've had on these. We missed this summer. We didn't do it. The previous summer. Do you know that there is a nature ride around Yorktown? It's a loop, a nature loop. It's actually got pavement, asphalt. And you can either take your bicycle or you can walk it or you can take the little Hondas, which we did. So Teresa and I are doing this little loop around. It's actually Jamestown Island. And what a nice thing that was. We've also taken these two little Hondas to Corova. You know, you can ride on the sand and go look at the wild horses. And we've done that. We've done that with company a couple of times. And we've really enjoyed this. This is great fun. And so, in one sense, I love my little Honda. That yellow one, that's called, it can be called a Cub. It's mostly called a Honda C70. That right there, and it's a real, you're not supposed to call these mopeds. Mopeds means motor pedal. Do you see any pedals on there? That is not a moped. Stop saying that. And you can't call it a scooter. You can tell the difference between a scooter and a motorcycle because scooters have little bitty wheels like a wheelbarrow. Does that have little bitty wheels? Looks like a bicycle, right? That's a motorcycle. Well, it doesn't really matter to me what you call it, but it is a motorcycle. And because it's a motorcycle, that happens to be the best-selling motorcycle in history. When people, this is Honda, after World War II, they wanted to make something quality. And those Honda guys, you know those Japanese Zero airplanes were pretty good, right? Well, they took all of those smarts and they put it into this little motorcycle trying to, you know, rebuild their economy, and they never wanted it to break. And that little Honda, people have taken, when they don't have motor oil in poor countries, they put vegetable, French fry oil in there, anything they can find. And it works. They just go and go. One internet group on YouTube, they took that little yellow motorcycle to the top of a four-story building. And they hung it over and they dropped it. Went wham! And all the wheels are all bent up and everything. And they went over to it and kicked it and started right up. That's a Honda. They're the best. Well, that green one is 1976. That thing's as old as the hills. The yellow one is 1980. And they're still great. They're Hondas. I love them. I love them, but not like you think love them. Because the love of money is the root of all evil. And those are little Hondas that I hold out. Every once in a while I think, well, I should probably get rid of these. I think, are you stark raving mad? You have grandsons, and they're just getting to the age where those things are going to catch their eyes. You can't get rid of them now. But I love them, but I don't love them, you know? They're just like mine for a while because the Lord said, I'm going to park these in your garage. And so it is. And Jesus told us, no man, no one can serve two masters, because he'll either hate the one and love the other, or else be loyal to the one and despise the other, and you can't serve God and money. So when you have this stuff, you can never let it capture your heart. It's just stuff. You can call the motorcycle your baby if you want to, but really, you know, Teresa's my baby. And you can't let this other stuff really capture your heart, and it's easy for that to happen. Well, once upon a time, we had this house paid off, and then I suppose it would be worth, like, I don't know, maybe $190,000. But then we kept making these other investments and helping kids with college and second mortgage and everything. So right now, let's say we have about $100,000 of equity in this house. And I do love this house. I love this house. When we were away for a year, we kept thinking, it just doesn't feel like home. But come back to this place, it feels like home. We just love this house. Even if it were smaller, I tell Teresa, see the part where the wing juts off to the side. Even if it was just that little Cape Cod part, it'd be like 600 square feet. I'd be perfectly happy there. I think it's a great little house. Just gives me a good feeling to be in it. I love that house, but I don't love the house, you know? It's like my prized possession, but it's not that prized. Jesus taught us to be really careful about this stuff, because where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And it's so different, isn't it? Because you think, oh, I'll bet what happens is if you have a heart for something, your money follows it. Like, I have a heart for motorcycles, and so I put all this money in motorcycles. Or I have a heart for, if I was a girl, for shoes. And since I have a heart for shoes, then all this money goes into the shoes. But that's not what the verse says. The verse says, where you put your money, your heart follows. So you say, oh, well, I'm going to put my money in heaven. Next thing you know, your heart follows and goes to heaven. I'm going to put this money in people. And then your heart follows where the money is. It's the treasure that starts the ball rolling, you know. You put your treasure there and your emotions follow. And that surprises us, because we think, no, no, what we have a passion for, our money will follow. And it is a feedback loop, you know, around and around we go. But Jesus says, if you want to break the cycle, what you have to do is put your money where you have no passion. Like, I don't care about that at all. I don't want to help the missionaries, you know, greedy things that they are, begging for my money. I don't want to help the missionaries. You put your money there anyway, and pretty soon your heart's there. I do want to help the missionaries. I love the missionaries. Something changed. You put your money there, and your emotions followed. And so you have to be very careful where you allow your emotions to go, and your emotions will tend to go where your money goes, interestingly. Well, then we have these investment properties, and once again, we're not very far along in all of these, so maybe if we sold the Aspen House, which you graciously sold to us, maybe we would come out, say, with $20,000 in our pocket. And if we sold the little Ocean View rental units, maybe we'd come out with $30,000 in our pocket. And the reason we did that is not so much that we love real estate, but, you know, I'm kind of old now, 57, and, you know, the last number in my age always corresponds with the last number in the year. So I'm 57, but we're in the year 2018. So you know what happens when my birthday rolls around, right? It's always 2018, 58, and on we go. And so I'm getting kind of old, and I think, well, what happens if I die like my grandpa did at about like 68 years old? What would poor Teresa have? And the answer is a couple of old motorcycles and a Mustang. And that's not very good. We don't really have a savings account or any kind of other investments. So, you know, this is it. And so we're doing this. And I do sort of love these houses, you know, they're you know, my prized possessions, if you will. But I don't love them. The only reason I ever got them in the first place is because I think it's what the Lord wants me to do. Because if a man doesn't provide for his own, especially those of his own house, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. So I don't know how I can die at 68 and not provide for my house, right? So I have to do this, but I kind of love it. Every once in a while, Teresa and I say, well, if we're really, really poor, we could live in one of the little cottages that we have there on Ocean View by the bay. As a matter of fact, we could knock out the wall and live in two of them, and then we would have 800 square feet to roam, you know, run barefooted through 800 square feet. And wouldn't that be special? So I love them. But I don't, you know, love them, not like that. And so I'm reminded, you know, that story that Jesus told about the collection agency, the fellow who realized that he was going to lose his job. So he went to all the ones who owed money and said, you know, don't give me 100%. I know you can't do that. Give me a fraction of it. That's what collection agencies do. They call you on the phone. We want 100%. And say, not happening, you know. You got to cut me some slack. They say, okay, can you give us 50%? We say, yeah, 50%. And then it's closed. The collection agency gives the original, whoever you owe the money to, gives them some fraction. And the idea is that 50% of something is better than 100% of nothing. So, no, you got to pay it all. And you never get anything. Well, it's better to get something, and that's why collection agencies do what they do. Anyway, that's the story. The way the story starts is with the king coming to his steward, and he says, what is this I hear about you? You're not doing a good job. What is this I hear about you? Give account of your stewardship, for you can no longer be steward. That's the scariest thing I can imagine. The Lord says, Dave, what have you done with all the stuff that I've given? You know how much money has gone through your paws in the course of a lifetime? Do you know how much time, how many seconds, how many breaths I've given you in your lifetime? Give account of your stewardship. What have you been doing? You're on my golf course. What have you been doing with all of the nice things I gave you? You were given a charge, a management. What have you been doing with your management? Give account of your stewardship, because I'm not happy with you and you can't be a steward anymore. So that's what we're doing with this stuff, with the motorcycles, with the cars, with the property. Give account of your stewardship, because now you can't be a steward anymore. You haven't done a good job. And I never, never want to hear that. Well, I mean, this is probably just worth about $1,000, my tools. And in a way, I'd love my tools. I'd hate to do without them. Almost every Christmas, I get more tools. And I don't know what I would do if I didn't have tools. I just don't think any of what I do could be done. It wouldn't make sense. How can I keep all these old vehicles running? How can I do these remodeling things? How can I put locks on the doors at the church? I just don't know how I could do this without my tools. So I really love my tools. I do love my tools, but I don't love them like that, you know, not in a bad way. And I love my nautical decorations. I have two of these authentic ship's wheels. If these things could talk, I mean, they have been out to sea for a very, very long time. They could tell us about sailors who all of a sudden have appendicitis. Oh, what are we going to do? There's no doctor. What stories these things could tell. So I have two of them. They say one came off of a Chinese ship. And I love these wheels. But, of course, I have to hold them with an open hand. Maybe someday they'll go away. Maybe someday somebody will say, Dave, I think I love those things more than you do. And if they're not covetous about it, maybe I'll be obligated to give them one. Because, after all, I have two. But I love these wheels. And I think, oh, and if Priest and I had to go and live in one of those little 400-square-foot cottages by the bay at Ocean View, then I think I'd still like to have the nautical wheel. I think that would be nice on the walls. So we have that. And I know this is corny. I just got this. I really like this jacket. I have another coat that I like, which is a shearling. You know what that is? It's a lamb turned inside out. The collars have a tuft of wool, the cuffs and the collar, tuft of wool. And it really is, on the inside you open up, it's white. On the outside, it's skin. And it's a lamb turned inside out, like a World War I flying ace. I love that coat, and I love this coat. Other than that, I don't care anything at all about any of the clothes I have. I just really don't care at all. But these things I do like. I guess they are my prized possessions. And this is worth like maybe $100. And I do love this, but, you know, it's silly, right? I mean, you just do without it if you have to. So you add up. Have you been keeping track? You add up all that I'm worth. I'm like 1/5 of a millionaire. And that's all I have in the world. But I don't care about that. And if it doesn't work out, the economy crashes and we lose it all, doesn't really matter. It was a nice try, you know, whatever. What really gives me comfort is this line from the parable of the prodigal son. You remember the story. The older son complains because when the young son returns, dad gives him a big party. And the older son says, I've never disobeyed you and you didn't give me a big party. And the father says, and these are the best words. I just love this. Says, son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. You're always going to be with me, and everything I have is yours. And that's the real wealth in this world. You don't really need anything else. I don't really need anything else. So Watchman Nee said, you and I must be perfectly willing to part with anything at any moment. What matters is that I can leave whatever I have without a twinge of regret. So all this stuff that we have, we're just managers of it. It's not our stuff. It's not our golf course. We just work there. We manage it. And we hold all of our stuff like this. And the Lord says, you know what? I'm going to do something else with that now. You want to make sure that you can leave that without a twinge of regret. And so that's my collection of all my great stuff. Can we stand and be dismissed with prayer? Well, Lord, I pray that all of us in our heart of hearts would open our hands up to you freshly again right now. I'm sure everybody here loves you, and I'm sure everybody here has already done this. I pray that we'd all do it again freshly right now. Open our hands and say, Lord, everything we have, whatever we think is our most valued possession, everything we have, we're just reminding ourselves here that it's yours, and you leave it in our hands or take it away from our hands, whatever you want, and we can do it without a twinge of regret. And we pray that you'll make us able to do this every day in Jesus' name. Amen.